many people are celebrating July 4th. You got something to do in your house, in your life? Amen. Invite us. We have nothing to do. So I was just trying to get an invitation. I'm just being honest. We have, like, one of the weird times my mom and dad had my girls. And so last week, Jeremy said to surrender your family to the Lord. And for 3 weeks, we won't have my girls. And it has been so quiet. And if you know me at all, like, I love noise and loudness. And so this has been really, really hard for me. And this season of 3 weeks going without my girls, and they say hello. They are in Ohio. I think they're going to New York. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it's going to be good. Amen. And so let me put all this together. If we'll be talking, I don't know if you are knowing anything. I try to keep up with the times and what's going on in life. And so there are songs of the summer. Do you know that? There's like songs of the summer. Yeah. And so I don't always approve of them. I don't think that we should listen to secular music. You're looking at a person that purely almost listens to Christian music, but every now and then there will be a song that goes viral on TikTok, and you gotta know what it's about. And so there's a song, it's called, like, I think I got a little clip from it. We have a clip from it. You might have seen this if you're like a TikTok kind of person. We just got the first line of it. You can throw it on anytime. And so that's it. Basically, that's it. And so this guy, now anybody know the song? You know, anybody has ever seen, I'm talking to a bunch of people. Oh, okay. And all the young people in the house are like, yeah, I've seen it. It's gone viral. I'm speaking to the young people. And so I am the youth pastor. And so we were looking at this, and it's a guy, and he's middle-aged, and he wrote the song in the early 2000s for like a podcast or something that he was doing way back in the day. And about last year, I don't know if you know about TikTok, but TikTok is one of the apps that students and people look at all the time. And it's sort of like a dancing app, and you do the moves, and somebody does the moves, and you can become viral, which is what you want to happen. And one of these kids pulled that song from the guy, and he's like, has no idea, is going viral. And I mean, he's making money, he's having a remix of the song, and he's just this middle-aged guy, sort of like myself. And I thought, what a good sermon message this morning. And he's so famous, he has teenagers in the house, and they said, Dad, you are so cringe. I don't know if your kids tell you that, but if they tell you you are cringe, it's not any good. It's not any good. It's like they're so ashamed of you. And so they, and his name of his song is called My Money Don't Jiggle Jiggle, It Folds. Now, if you get the picture, he doesn't want coins, he wants what? Dollar bills. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to talk about money this morning. And so you're like, oh man, I came to church on the wrong Sunday. And I would say to you, one of my pastor friends said, if you think we talk about money too much, you do not come to church enough. Because this church doesn't really talk about money, but it is one of the things in Proverbs that we talk about. Like, if you see it, there's over 21 verses in the book of Proverbs that will talk about money and the wisdom that we are to have when we have money. And I don't know about you, but I would rather my money to fold than for it to jiggle, because whenever it jiggles, I just get rid of it. Here's all the coins I have, I give it to my kids. And today we want to look at that in the verse of in the summer of Proverbs. Now, we've learned how to have a healthy fear of the Lord. We've talked about walking in mercy and truth, and last week we talked about letting go of the grip that we have on our plans, and that we're going to entrust into God's hands. And so we had to sort of surrender that. But today we're going to talk about the topic of money, wealth, and giving. So if you look at all of the Proverbs and you put them all the verses together, I sort of did that. Any verse that talks about money, I sort of Googled that, and I noticed that there were three different compartments that the writers of Proverbs and the wisdom sayings that they would have a way. And so we really want to get this right. Can I get an amen? This, everything costs more than it used to. I mean, last year amen. Now we got somebody talking to me. Whenever you go to the gas station, it was $2 last year, and now it's $4.50. When you move to the movies last year, it was $10. They were telling me this morning, my boys want to go to the movies to watch The Minions, and it's $20 to get into the movies, and you can't even go in Houma. You actually have to go to Metairie now. And so money is what sort of runs the world, and people will say, say, well, I don't want to love money, because clearly the love of money is the root of all evil. Yes, but God has called us to steward our money. And there's a difference between loving money and stewarding what God has given. And you say, well, I don't have anything. I'm 12 years old. Or I don't have anything. I'm a single mom. We have so many different compartments up in the church this morning. I know we have teens and we have single moms and we have widows and we have divorce that sort of takes away all of your finances. You have failing finances. You have the government assistance. All of those things are true in the house this morning. I was trying to think of everything that could be applicable to our lives. However, if you have a dollar or $1 million, God has called us to steward what he has given. Now, I would prefer $1 million. I'm not saying I would love $1 million. I'm just saying I would. If you're looking at me like, oh, I don't know, you're out your mind, because $1 million will work way more than a dollar, but you want your dollar to work so that when you get the $1 million, it will work in the same way. We are called to steward our money. And so how do we get this idea of not having our money jiggle and we don't even know where it goes versus to fold? So whenever you look at the scriptures, there's three things if you're taking notes this morning. Number one is be generous. Somebody say, be generous. Now that sounds weird. Tara, you want me to get control of my money, and the first thing you say is to be generous. But it's in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, I had to start taking out verses out of the 21 just so that I could get a couple of verses that all said the same thing, because it's all his, and he has called us as stewards to be generous with what he has given. In Proverbs 3 and verse 27, you can look at the screen, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And just saying, basically, be generous if you can. In Proverbs 11 and verse 25, it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes another will be refreshed. Anybody ever been generous to you? Isn't it an awesome feeling when someone writes you a check and you're like, wow, that's amazing. It says, when we do that, we are refreshing someone else. It says in Proverbs 14, 21, it is a sin. Listen to that. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. How many times do we despise that person or that individual, and yet the Lord says in his word, it's a sin to do that. Rather, it is blessed to give kindness to the needy. In Proverbs 22 in verse 9, it says, the generous will themselves be what? Let me say that again. The generous will themselves be blessed. So it is a biblical principle that we are to be generous with what God has, not so that we can be blessed, but when we are generous, that God will begin to bless all the rest. So what does that look like in 2022 when everything has gotten really crazy in a couple of months' time? We are still generous at Hope Community Church. We still give 10% plus of everything that we take in to missions abroad. We give it here locally to a couple of rehab centers. We give that to some college missionaries because we believe in the university and the kids going that way, that they should know Jesus. We give that to some missionaries in Mexico. Someone's going to Papua New Guinea. We have all kinds of people throughout the globe. We even support a little boy. His name is Mumba, and he lives in Sierra Leone, Africa. And every month they show us his little picture and he grows, and we're supporting his family as a believer, a church here on the east side of Houma. Why? Because it is good to be generous. And it displays the heart of Jesus that we are to give. And so it starts way back in the Bible, Genesis 4. Abel gives a more pleasing offering to the Lord. Abraham gives one-tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek, and then it becomes a law. Jacob vows to make Yahweh his God, and when he does, he says, this is how you're going to know that he's my God, because now my God gets 10%. And he gives 10% of what he has unto the house of the Lord and the work of the Lord. If you're taking notes this morning, your generosity should go to the house of the Lord and the work of the Lord. Be careful. Be careful. There was one time I was on the streets and I was talking to a lady and she said, oh, Miss Tara, should I give my money? I said, who are you? And I don't know why she told me, I wasn't asking. And so she said, Peter Popoff. I have no idea who Peter Popoff is, but it was a letter that came in the mail and it was blessed by this guy who had a handkerchief and a cross. And I have no idea. I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know who he is. Do you know? But I see him on TV. And he said, if you gave me $46 and like 11 cents, then you will be blessed all your days. I said, that's not a biblical principle, because you're just sitting underneath someone that just really wants your money. Like, let's be honest. And so, and she looked at me and I looked at her and I said, I just want my money to fold. Amen. And so, no, I didn't say that, but here we are. The generosity that we give must go to the house of the Lord and to the work of the Lord. And so you were here today because some people decided before you ever stepped foot in this building that it was good to be generous. There were some people, we did a chair drive back in like 5 years ago when no one came to the church, and we said, we're going to have a chair, and someone paid for all the chairs that you're sitting on. Gave us a check for, I think it was $6,000 or $7,000. We want people to sit and have a good seat. Amen. That's a good seat you got right there. Someone wrote a check. I mean, just recently, someone, we run a nonprofit, and we have not been well financially in our nonprofit, our church, and we're just making it. It's been a rough year. And someone just said, I want to be generous. And they came and wrote off all the debt that we have for 2022. I was like, seriously? Amen. And so, like, the Lord blesses the generosity that we have. So much of what we have here at Hope Community is because people outside of here believed that this was a place worth giving to. Now, my question is, do you believe the same? We can amen. Oh, that's good. They gave. But what about us? Every 15th of the month, my husband and I get paid. And the first thing I do is take 10% of what I have and I give it to the Lord. I write a check. I'm old school. I don't know what you do, PayPal, Venmo, whatever. But I write a check and it says Hope Community Church, and it goes right and back into the house of the Lord. I believe in this place. I believe in the work. I believe that we need money just to make things run. These things don't come free. Decorations don't come free. VBS and all these camps don't come. They come at a cost, but it's an eternal reward. And so whenever I give, it's as into the kingdom. I want the kingdom to increase. I am generous because I want the kingdom. And some people will say, well, I pay taxes. In case you were not clued in, America doesn't really want the kingdom of God to increase. They want the kingdom of itself to increase. But when you give to the house of the Lord, it increases the kingdom of the Lord. And so we want to give generously as unto the Lord. And when I give generously, the Bible says, I am blessed. I am blessed. I don't know a time in my life, because I grew up in the house of the Lord, that I did not give my tithe. If I made $1.10, my mama said, was for Jesus. Whenever I made $100, $10 was for the Lord. I can't remember a time, and I've been so blessed. I've been tremendously where God has just poured down his blessings. I don't give to be blessed, but because I do, I am blessed. Number one, are you generous with your money? Number two, the Bible says in Proverbs, work hard and pay off debt. You got some debt in your, I mean, this is the now, it's going to rub you a little raw. Look at these verses. It says in Proverbs 12:11, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. That needs to be like our American motto these days. It says this in Proverbs 12:11, those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies, they have no sense. Dishonest money, it says in Proverbs 13:11, dwindles away. So don't get your money dishonestly, but whoever gathers money little by little by little makes it grow. That's my life motto. I don't make much, but man, if I keep on saving and saving by little, it will grow. In Proverbs 14, verse 23, it says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So if you're just talking about working rather than working, you can see that this will be a way of your life. In Proverbs 24, verses 33 through 34, it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. You ever did that? I'm just going to take a nap for a minute. And like 5 hours later, you're still in the bed. It says, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity with like an armed man. So then the idea of the Proverbs with wisdom is to work. And just in case we forgot what the definition of work is, because sometimes living in today's world, I'm sort of wondering, does anybody even know what work is? Here's the definition of work. It is an activity. Get this. I know this is big. This is really deep. I didn't know that we'd have to preach this in 2020, but in 2022, clearly, we have to preach that it's an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. That's work. And so the Bible says we are to work because we are not in heaven yet. We have an assignment. We have a purpose, and hard work brings a profit. Have something that you do. Now that could be mothering. Mothering is work. Can I get an amen? I mean, that's a job in and of itself. There doesn't have to be like I show up 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever it is now, 9 until 2. And so it doesn't have to be that, but clearly there has to be a pattern where you do something with your physical effort and your mental efforts. There's something that you can do. That could just be cleaning the house. Parents, if you have a child in the room this morning, teach this to your kids young. My parents, I lived on a farm, and I had to go outside and like cut grass. It took us all day. We also had chickens and cows, and it was really crazy. Every morning I had to go feed the chickens. Every night I had an allowance. My allowance was dependent on the work that I did. Why? Because if I'm just throwing free money at my children, oh mom, I want to go eat somewhere. Oh mom, I want to do this. I've got 4 kids. I'm gonna be broke by tomorrow by all the things that they want. So what we have done is said, if hard work is how you get your money in a real life, when you're a kid, hard work will also be how you get your money now. And so we have an allowance system. My oldest kid, he's 17, and so he gets a little bit more money because he's a little bit older. My youngest kid gets, she's 10, so she gets a little bit less, and she's crazy. And so sometimes her money cut like a whole lot. She don't get all that much, and she knows why, because I don't work hard, mom, and I'm crazy. And so there's an allowance that she gets. You, all the people, y'all know. And so there's the allowance. There's a portion of money that they get because they did a job. So when they want to go somewhere, oh, do you have money from your allowance? Oh, I'm sorry, did you work at that job? Because you can use that money, because my money is you're my dad's. Married couples, if you're married in the house, we're married together, so our money is together. There's no hidden money. There's no hidden banking account, checking account, secret savings that Ted doesn't know about. All of my money is his money, and all of his money is my money. I'm trying really hard. And so we're sitting here like, but it's together. We make financial decisions together. So we're looking at like his truck is really old, but we're looking together. That's not an argumentative decision. If you get your finances right, your marriage will be a lot better. We do not argue about our finances in our marriage, not one time. Because when we were dating, whenever we were like going through the dating process, we said, let's work on it now. I said, let's work on it now. And so Ted had an incredible job. He still does. He's the pastor. But like when we were dating, he had like an incredible job with a lot of money. And so I'm thinking, I'm marrying into richness. Hallelujah. And so I'm working here at the church. I'm working Hope Extreme for 2 years. I don't take a salary. So you're thinking, I don't have a lot of money. But since I was a little kid, I've just been saving my money. I'm a saver. So I put all my money in a savings account. And I'm building this little nest egg. And my money is folding. And I'm like, woo. And so we're in our engagement. And all of a sudden, I said, well, let's look at each other's banking accounts. That's good. Before you get married, that way it doesn't hurt you after marriage, because then I would have died. And so I'm looking at Ted, he's looking at me, and he opens up his savings account, and I'm like, there's nothing. It's like $3 or 12, I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating, 100 at best. And I'm like, but you have a great job and you're making tons of money. And he's like, yeah, I don't know where it goes. And I'm sitting here and I show him my nest egg, and he's like, wow. And I was like, see, you you're getting a good deal when you marry me. And so here I am, like, I'm devastated. I'm like, I want to walk away. We're not even married and I want to walk away. I want to yell at him. I want to scream at him. That's what I do. And so I'm looking at him, and you know what we did? We made the best decision. We said, we're going to get Financial Peace by Dave Ramsey. Grab anyone. I recommend him. Grab anyone. And we sat down, and for our engagement on Friday nights, rather than dating, we watched videos by him. Really cool, right? Like, that sounds really romantic. And so we sat down and said, but we're going to get it right now. And so what we did was the second part. You work hard, but you pay off your debt. So we looked at the debt that we had. And when I say we, I mean my other half had. And so so I'm sitting there and I said, you know what? We're going to pay it off. So we started really small. He had an electric drum set that he had paid for. It was going to be worth so much because of the interest and all the money he's going to put on it. So I'm sitting there and we pay off that electric drum set in about, what, 2 or 3 months? 2 months. I don't know. 1 or 2 months. And we throw a little party. Woo-hoo! We take all of that money that we were putting on his electric drum set and we go to his furniture bill. Now I'm paying, now we're like snowballing this and it's getting happy up in here. And so we're like, all of a sudden, we're so excited. So we're putting it on that. And so we pay off his furniture. So now we own the electric drum set and some company though, and now we own the furniture that we sit on. Can I get a hallelujah? And so then we said, we're going to throw that, I think, toward his truck, and it was the next thing, and that was a big bill. It was flipped upside down. I don't even know what that meant. That's how bad it was. And so we sit there, and we just chunk our money, and we're working hard. We are people that work hard, but we were also paying off our debt. And so whenever we get into our marriage, we were able to put our nest pile together, and now he saves like crazy, and we have like just a little bit of blow money. And you know what we're doing? We're just investing that. Let me help you out. Look at the Proverbs. Work hard and pay off debt. It says this in Proverbs 17, verse 18. One who has no sense shakes hands in a pledge and puts up security for a neighbor. I don't want to be known as a person with no sense. Proverbs 22, verse 7, it says, the rich rule over the poor. It's true. And the borrower is slave to a lender. Now that gets tricky in America, because in order to buy a house, you probably are going to have to borrow. But there are times where you don't have to. For example, if you need new furniture, you could save up for the furniture and buy it when you have the funding available. Sometimes for a car, I can see where I just need a car, so I have to borrow, but you pay that off as quickly as possible. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 26 through 27, do not be the one who shakes hands in a pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, can I say that again? If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. If you, and you can write this down, if you can't afford it, don't get it. That's not popular. In my neighborhood, everybody gets everything that they can't afford. I'm watching them bring in new things day after day, and I'm looking at them with envy and jealousy, but I can't afford it. I'm just being honest. So therefore, I don't get it. Be careful with small debt, because it will add to bigger debt. For example, if you go to Starbucks, I don't know if you go to Starbucks, if you get a $5 coffee, and let's be honest, there is nothing at Starbucks that is now worth $5, but let's just use this as an example. If you go to Starbucks every day a week, at the end of the week, you'll have paid $35 to Starbucks. And they thank you. They thank you. And then after $147 to Starbucks, at the end of a year, you have paid $1,764 for a cup of coffee that clearly you could have made at your house. Can I get an amen? Let me give you one more example. If you go out to eat, and this has gotten so much more expensive, but if you go out to eat and you have a family of four, we have a family of six, so this is way bigger for us. And if you spend, like, if you get the cheap meal, because now meals, like even a little cheap meal at Burger King is $10 and $12. And so if you, let's just say you have a family of four and you're cheap, and you spend $50 to go out to eat, and you do that four times a week, that's $200 a week. $840 a month, get this, $10,080 a year just to go out and eat. I can't afford that. My budget does not have that ability. And you say, well, I can't give to the house of the Lord. Surely you can. You can quit going out to eat. You can start making your own and buy some sales from the Rouses. And so you have to make a budget. You have to look at it, and you have to stick to say stick to it. You can't just say this is what I'm going to do, because you want your money to fold and to not jiggle. And so now you're getting yourself, you're working hard, and you're getting out of debt. This is the story that we have for our own lives. How many times are you going to let yourself, we even have this plan. How many times can I go out to eat in a month? Once, I'll let you know our budget. One time a month, our family gets to go out to eat. We have a big family, and food is really expensive. And I can cook better a lot of times, and I can make it way cheaper. So for us, it's one time a month, unless one vacation. What does that look like? What bills can you start getting rid of? Maybe you don't need the Netflix subscription and the Hulu subscription and the Disney Plus subscription and all the other subscriptions, and you start letting go. Maybe you don't even need cable TV, and you can let go of that subscription. Y'all like to know. And so, but you start making your money count. You start not just throwing away your money, and you say, okay, this is what I can do. So anytime I can eat free, I'm going to do it. I'm staying after church today. I got some kids I got to feed, and the money's and the food is free. So I'm coming in. I'm going to dive into that. Or we go to his family's things. That way I don't, you know, sometimes I just don't need it. I don't need to go into debt for something else. Right now we're looking at his truck, and that's just another example in our lives. And it leaks oil, correct? Am I correct? Yes, it leaks oil. And I'm just like, just go get another oil, because I can't afford a $40,000, $50,000, whatever it is now, $60,000 truck. And yours is paid off, and it just gets you from working back. It will be okay. We'll use my car for the big things. We're using your work truck to be exactly what it is, a work truck. Why? My daughter, she comes home. She's not here. She comes home. She said, Mom, I want to be a cheerleader. I said, that's awesome. I said, I didn't know you ever wanted to be. Yeah, I love cheer. Never cheered a day in her life. And so she's sitting there. I said, how much is it going to cost me for you to be a cheerleader? She said, $1,200. A middle school cheerleader. Now, you know me, I'm looking at her like she's crazy. So I'm like, seriously, $1,200? Yeah, Mom, that includes the camp and the what kind of outfit you getting for $1,200, you know? Oh, that's the shoes and the socks. Okay. So she said, can I try out? I said, baby, the only people that will make that cheerleading team are the people's parents that are foolish enough to pay $1,200 for a middle school, seventh grade child to be a cheerleader. So she said, I'm not trying out, am I? I said, no. I said, but if you want to raise all the money yourself, you go right ahead. You go right ahead, and you can be a cheerleader. And so she, you know what? She didn't even try out. I'm not that interested. I said, good. The Christian club is free. Go there. Amen. And you can get free food. You can get free food. And Jesus, and it's eternal. And it makes a difference now, but in heaven, I mean, it's way more important you go to the Christian club than you're a cheerleader. And so that's the conversations, and those are hard conversations in our family, because I want my baby to be a cheerleader. Secretly, I don't. It's online. I don't care. And so I don't really want her to be a cheerleader anyhow, but you know, you want her to be happy. So I want to give them money. And then the Bible would say that's not really the best approach. Quit putting yourself in debt. You know how much I would have to pay off in order to get myself out of debt so that she could be a cheerleader for 1 year. Take it. Sneak at your debt. Take off your credit cards. Start, if you have a credit card issue, quit getting them. Quit getting them. Don't, in this time that's so bad, don't just go and get more debt. Don't stack it up for your life. So you're going to be generous. Somebody say, be generous. And then you're going to work hard and pay off debt. Somebody say, work hard and pay off debt. All right. Now, if you need help, we're here. We love to talk to you. We would love not to get all up in your financial business, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal. That's why Proverbs writes about it. This is the why Ted and I seriously do not fight about this issue ever, because we have a plan. We have planned our lives around this. And then lastly, number three, investing. Now, this is the part you do after you be generous. This is the part you do after you're working hard and you're paid off your debt. And so it says this in Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. I mean, look at that. It says it in the Bible. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. In Proverbs 27, 23, and 24, it says, be sure that you know the conditions of your flocks. And we don't have flocks, so be sure that you know the condition of your money. give a careful attention to your hurts, for riches do not endure forever, and that job won't be there forever, and eventually we age, and a crown is not secure for all generations. So in all of the wisdom that Proverb offers, he says, be generous. He says, work hard and pay off debt. He says, but also think about the future. Think about the inheritance. I'm sitting here, and this is a personal story. You can play that music. I'm getting ready to wrap it all up. I'm at a Bible study with a bunch of people.